Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW. The two-hour premiere event of Superman and Lois airs Tuesday, February 23rd, or you can stream free next day on the CW app.
You will drain it. Yeah, 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 they wanna know.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
And we have breaking news.
What happened? What happened?
Gina Carano fired from The Mandalorian.
Taylor Swift went on GMA to announce the
Taylor
music.
Just kidding. Taylor's version.
That. Taylor's version. Don't care. What happened with Gina Caruso?
Gina Carano. She got fired from The Mandalorian after controversial posts.
Literally, this name I will never know again. Like, after this, like, I'm just like, this name is going in one ear and out the other.
It's like, woman. No, this name is fully like, you'll never see me again.
Yes. Like, gif of Rihanna turning around. Yes, it's done. You'll never see me again. We knew about her. We knew she was a problem. We knew this woman was a problem.
I didn't know the extent of her problems. So
Disney
we had actress
was like
Gina Carano
sitting on this. They're waiting to get this woman out of the world. Star Wars, what's the world that they're
the
in?
The world, the Lucas world. The Star Wars universe. I think that
Yeah,
Star
but is there
Wars,
a name for it?
The Star
where
Wars
they
extended
live?
Universe. The Star
okay,
Wars
but
extended
where do
universe.
Where do they live? Is like a planet called
in
like
in a galaxy far, far away. They live on like Toth. They're like,
thank you. You know all these answers and you're literally telling me them. And
but I don't
like
know
I'm
where
crazy.
She lives. Okay, fine. I don't know which one. She's always like in a bar with their legs up and she's like, hey, Mando, what's up? Like, ugh. Where's Grogu?
Okay.
So actress Gina Carano has been booted off The Mandalorian after she penned a social media post that compared being a Republican to being Jewish in Nazi Germany.
Because she's like, at this point, it's like her hate is absurd. It's like yes. Camp. It's like... I know. I mean, it's terrible and she's got to go. Bye-bye.
Everything I was reading by her, the stuff that I was reminded of that I knew and the stuff that was brand new that I didn't know, like some of her transphobic stuff, there's just like no gray area. It's so like brazenly terrible.
I know. So George Lucas is going to put her in a spaceship and blast her off. I don't know where she's going.
Season 3 is going to begin with Pedro Pascal being like,
hello?
Oh,
Mappa's dead?
Hello. Mappa's dead. Yeah, Cara Dune died. I shot her in the face. She's dead. Let's go find Grogu. Like, that's how it's going to begin. And then we're going to move on. We're not going to care.
Samantha Jones? Oh, she's dead.
Samantha Jones? Dead. Cara Dune? Dead. Mappa? Dead. They're all dead. They're all in the same galaxy. They're in a different galaxy far, far
they
away.
They all are living together in a different galaxy. We don't need to recognize them anymore.
And that sitcom will premiere on Newsmax next fall.
I have to say, it's unfair to lump in Samantha Jones with those other two people. That's so cruel. Samantha Jones did nothing wrong. She just doesn't want to do it anymore.
I mean, she did nothing wrong, but the character's definitely living with Cara Dune and Mappa, like, in a house.
That's true. Okay, true. So we don't blame, what's her face? Her real name. What's Samantha Jones' real name?
Kim Cattrall. No.
Kim Cattrall,
no.
But we do think that Samantha Jones just moved in with Mappa.
Their upcoming problematic mid-season replacement sitcom starts with Not So Long Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. And there they are. She's dead. The funniest things about this story are, number one, this caption in page 6. They have like this really funny publicity still that looks 10 years old of Gina Carano, like hands on her hips and her business blazer and like looking like, hello, ladies. And the caption is, Lucasfilm has reportedly wanted to fire Carano for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have. Of course.
And
they
were going to give her a spinoff show. The rumor is that big Disney Plus announcement where they were like, we're releasing this show and 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 this show. On the PowerPoint, it was like, she's going to have a show. And then they were like, take her off the PowerPoint before the thing.
Where did she come? I really don't want to know enough anything about this woman, but where did she come from?
MMA.
Oh.
She was an MMA fighter and then Steven Soderbergh put her in a movie.
It's an interesting casting choice. Her personality, her bad personality aside, that's a cool thing to do.
On paper, she makes perfect sense for the role.
She's like a fighter.
Yeah, she's a fighter. She's like not the greatest actor, but it doesn't really matter. Her thing is like, I'm a badass woman, like whatever. But now she's just such a nightmare in person that it just couldn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, you are listening to Who's There, the podcast where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619 Who Them. Never call about Gina Carano. We'll never see her again.
We'll never see her again. You'll never see me again.
Hi, Who Weekly. Just had to pause the podcast because you guys were talking about iconic hostage negotiators. And obviously, the most iconic hostage negotiator is Bruce Willis from the movie Hostage. Literally, he's the main character of that movie, and he's a hostage negotiator. And he's saving all the hostages. And at the end, he goes in and he kills the person that's holding everybody hostage. The most iconic hostage negotiator, Bruce Willis. Thank you. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
Hey, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. The best hostage negotiator in film is Larry Miller in Best in Show when he negotiates for his kid not to throw the dog off the roof. Or no, it wasn't even a roof. It was a playset. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Yes, Bruce Willis does play the hostage negotiator in Hostage. That doesn't make him the most iconic. It just makes him the most obvious.
I mean, I think the most obvious one is the movie called The Negotiator, where it's actually framed about the negotiator.
Right, but my point really wasn't who was the most iconic. My point was, weren't there a lot of them? And the answer is yes. There was a big trend of people were obsessed with the idea of being a hostage negotiator. They thought it was fun.
Another person called in and said Larry Miller was the actual best hostage negotiator in movies, and I do agree with that. He is trying to get his son off the roof, and this is how he does it.
It's not a choice today, honey.
Please, this is what I do. Please, honey, this is what I do.
Don't be mad at him, please.
I'll gouge your left eye out with my thumb. I shit you not, you freak. I'm going to get down here right now. I'm
going
to punch you in the eye till it turns to jelly.
Anyway, that's him, the best hostage negotiator.
For Best in Show, hands.
Best in Show.
For Best in Show,
hands. Holds up, that movie. Holds up. Next call.
Does.
Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley share the same astrologer. Crunch, crunch. That MacBook.
After hearing this call, I was like, excuse me, how do you even know that? And then I Googled it, and there's a Page Six article literally called Newly Engaged Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley Share the Same Astrologer.
It's extensive. It's like gathering evidence. Were these two stars brought together by cosmic energy or their astrology coach? And then it's like this writer, sorry, I gotta shout him out because they did a good job. Leah Bitsky traces each one of them to this same kind of coach named Deborah Silverman, mm-hmm. and is like, did this bring them together? Did she bring them together? But of course, in true Page Six fashion, it ends with, it is unclear if Silverman was behind the union of the engaged couple, and her rep had no comment. Don't even know. Play the other Aaron Rodgers call, because we need to remember the last time we talked about this guy.
So I just had to pause the podcast when you guys were talking about Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley, because I wanted to let you guys know that Aaron Rodgers' brother, Jordan Rodgers, was actually a contestant and won JoJo's season of The Bachelorette, and the two of them have been, like, dating or engaged or whatever for the past, like, 4 years or something. So I just have to know what a dinner party of Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley, Jordan Rodgers, and JoJo Fletcher would look like. Okay. Chewing food. Bye.
We talked about this a lot, actually, when Jordan Rodgers was on The Bachelor, because it was funny that he had this, like, famous brother, and then they didn't talk to each other. Because I guess Aaron is kind of estranged from the entire family. Like, Jordan is still close with his parents and
parents.
Whatever. And Aaron was kind of like, I want nothing to do with these people, whether or not it has anything to do with The Bachelor. Yeah. But he definitely wanted nothing to do with his brother who was on The Bachelor, even though so many references were made towards Aaron, obviously the more famous sibling. And what's even funnier was literally yesterday, this headline came out that was JoJo Fletcher and Jordan Rodgers admit they initially stayed together to please Bachelor Nation. I guess they're still together that, like, they, like, were forced to be together early on to maintain their sponsorship and their fandom. And then I guess it just stuck. Because they're still together.
Here's my impression of Aaron Rodgers estranging himself from his family. You'll never see me again.
Stop, stop. Jordan is close with the family. They have a brother named Luke. And Aaron is estranged from the rest of the family. And people were hoping he would appear when they did like a home visit. But of course he didn't appear. He was like, I want nothing to do with this. But it is kind of funny that now Aaron is engaged to a famous person too. So like he's also kind of part of the whatever. It's interesting.
I do wonder though, like, because this news from this week, how they admitted that they stayed together initially for Bachelor Nation to please Bachelor Nation. Like, I wonder how contractual that is. Like, were they just waiting until they had passed some grace period to reveal that, or is it sort of just like good taste, like if you want to have a good relationship, like wait a certain amount, like wait this grace period before you reveal like any sort of truths? Like, I just wonder like how much ABC really breathes down the necks of these people, or if it's kind of all in our heads that it's intense, you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
that's just sort of like, because I feel like it's in their best interest to sort of keep on the narrative and not necessarily something that they're obligated to do. It's just like in their best interest. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, next call. Speaking of good points.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Medium time, first time. I'm calling because I saw your tweet about Chester Marlon Hanks, aka Chet Hanks, and his weird bed sheets with scientific information on them about Icelandic horses, and I thought, this is my time to shine. I've been waiting for this. I went to college with him and used to follow him on Twitter when he was not trying to be famous. And he used to tweet about horses like often. One time he went on this whole thing about how we should be grateful that we even have horses, because if it weren't for like a small group of them that, you know, escaped and crossed the Siberian land bridge, we wouldn't have them. And, you know, I had it say for years that I deleted it, and now I'm sad that I deleted it. But I think he's just a man who's, he's very passionate. He's passionate about apparently saying the N-word, and he's passionate about, you know, the science of horses. It kind of tracks. I feel like rich people love horses. I don't know if you have any more information on this or if there's any more evidence, but just thought I would, you know, share that. Anyways, thank you for listening. Have a lovely day. Crunch, crunch.
The idea that Chet is passionate about horses in a way that's just like, there was this tweet. So there was a tweet where it was a screenshot of Chet Hanks doing like a video from his bed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's laying on these sheets that have like Icelandic horses, information about Icelandic horses on the sheets. That's literally it. That's the tweet. So who tweeted it?
It was from Hooligan at Guilt Complex. And I retweeted it. That's why the caller saw it. But it's very, it's like he made a little fort. It's like he's in a little fort made out of sheets. And there are passages about Icelandic
horses. I usually wouldn't trust Chet Hanks's judgment or really his opinions or whatever. But on this one, I would have to agree that horses are amazing.
Horses are pretty cool.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not sure I would go with what Chet Hanks is saying or doing.
I know your inbox is about to be slammed with anime teens and, you know, kids who love Zan getting really mad at you for calling Uzi a who. And I just have to say, I would agree, Uzi is not a who. Well, Uzi versus them. You're wrong. You're wrong. Anyway, this is Ian in DC. Crunch, crunch. Uzi is a them. Uzi is a fucking them. I just called about Uzi, and I'm calling again because I'm high and I unpaused and I thought of a better new sign off. Forehead diamond. Bye.
If forehead diamond cannot catch on as a sign off, because I'll barf every time anyone says forehead diamond.
We didn't get many anime teens saying that Lil Uzi is actually a them at all.
I know. Maybe we don't have many anime teens in our audience. But as I was editing it, I was looking up clips of Uzi. His anime involvement is very cool. He really does love it. And he did a song, which is what I included in the episode. If the true heads probably caught it, he did a song for Detective Pokemon, the movie that Rita Ora was in. He did a full song for it. And he was like, this is the most exciting thing I've ever contributed to.
Lindsay, it's called Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
I'm sorry, Pokemon Detective, not Detective Pokemon, but technically it's about a Detective Pokemon, but Detective Pikachu, sorry.
Yes,
Pokemon: Detective Pikachu.
And let's see if Forehead Diamond catches on as a sign-off. I like it. It's simple.
No.
Forehead Diamond.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I had to pause the pod when you were talking about Suzanne Summers because, yes, she did handle that situation incredibly. She defused it. She was like, cool as a cucumber. But I also think that maybe the third question she asked him about, like, who are you, maybe because as a person who has house sat for someone who has a very large house in Los Feliz, for some reason, rich people just have, like, people in their house all the time, whether they're, like, working or gardening or doing construction or something. Like, I can't tell you the amount of times that I would house sit and wake up and there would be people in the house. So it's, like, kind of terrifying, but I think it's also kind of normal for rich people to just have, like, people working around and in their house constantly. So maybe she wasn't totally freaked out because that's probably something that happens often. Not that that's what this was, but I think that she was handling it very well because I'm sure she's used to having randos, you know, working in and around her house. So yeah, that's just my little insight. Crunch, crunch, me in quarantine. Bye.
I love this because it reminds me that the way that I see rich people's houses is from the 1982 movie Annie, where, you know, the song, it's like, we got Annie. And then all those, like, people who work at the house are like,
I don't know the song.
Yes, you do. It's like Anne Ranking, and she's like dancing. She's dancing through the Mr. Big. Who is, sorry, what's his name?
Daddy Warbucks? Even I know that, and I've seen Annie once.
She's like dancing through Daddy Warbucks' house, and all of these people are like chiming in, like the cooks and this person and some guy fixing a light bulb and the pool guy, and like everyone's like chiming in. And it's like, that is what a rich person's house looks like. It just involves so many people, you know, working
so much
on it.
Stuff.
Doing
so much
stuff. Right.
Yeah, it made me think of the
Yeah, what did it make you think of?
It made me think of the Kendall Jenner AD tour. Because she was like, and which I think I mentioned on the show, when she's showing off her huge house
her
and then
James Turrell's glam room.
Oh, God. And then she shows her glam room and she's like, and then the glam room has its own entrance so that my staff doesn't have to walk all the way through the front. And I was like, don't make it seem like you did this to be nice to them.
It's literally a servant's entrance. It's
like you gave her a servant. You gave them servant's entrance.
Literally, yes. you rent houses that are built at a certain year before a certain year. And they have this included for nefarious reasons. Like, you don't want to build a modern version of this, like, kind of fucked up concept.
You ask the realtor, like, what's this door about? And
they're like, you know, it's very old. It's a very old apartment. Very, very old. Have you seen the dumbwaiter?
Have you seen the dumbwaiter? That is a dream, though.
Having a dumbwaiter, though. Yeah, I agree.
I don't want staff. I don't even want a big house. I hate big houses. I just want a dumbwaiter.
Right. I don't want a staff entrance. I want a dumbwaiter. Yeah, yeah, right.
I just love the technology of a dumbwaiter is so simple and cool to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree.
Last comment.
Hi. So I just had to pause who's there because I have one extra little detail that you guys missed talking about JoJo Siwa coming out and being on Jimmy Fallon and collaborating with the TikTok Pride Hype House and just how delightfully confusing this would be to, like, a 16th century peasant. To add one extra layer of just, I don't know, ridiculousness or randomness to the whole thing is I believe that all of the members of the TikTok Pride Hype House were minor cast members in the Disney Channel original movie Teen Beach Movie, starring Ross Lynch. So, just a fun fact. Crunch, crunch.
You know that movie Teen Beach? That was like the High School Musical after High School Musical, like the next generation High School Musical. Ross Lynch was in it. Remember, and now he has the band with his brothers, R5 or whatever. We've talked about this. They're like kind of weird siblings. What's funny is they're all small. They're all like minor cast members in the Disney Channel original movie Teen Beach.
Also, according to capwing.com, /resources/TikTok-houses-list, Pride House was formed in December 2020. So, like...
whatever, like, we're making progress. We got a gay hype house. It's just funny to me that it's like, what do all the members of Hype House, Pride Hype House have in common? Well, they're gay, or they're minor characters in Disney original movie Teen Beach.
Okay, let's move on to questions. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
in the
good
family.
Stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Is Firefly Lane the hooiest show on TV? Crunch, crunch.
I don't think so. In fact, I'm willing to call it an instant them show because
what?
Netflix shoved, in terms of like name recognition, everyone's talking. It's like Bridgerton. These
who
shows are shoved down your throat.
I'm sorry, who is talking about this? Aside from people who call into this podcast. Who's talking about this?
It's number one on Netflix. I'm seeing Drew Barrymore talk about this.
Compared to Bridgerton, I'm seeing nothing. I'm seeing nothing. No one we know is watching it. The critics are not talking about it either way.
The critics are talking about it.
They are
the
not.
Critics are talking about
I
it.
I disagree. I think this is the hooiest show.
Our friend who is a critic watched it and liked it.
Yeah, he had to. And that's really shameful. You should not reveal his name because it's embarrassing.
He had to. It's based on a book by Kristen Hannah. We do not have to spend a lot of time on this, but it is like.
But we will.
It's yet again the Netflix effect where it's like Netflix tells you that everyone's watching the show. So you're like, guess I'll watch the show. Guess we're going to Belgravia. So you start watching the show where Sarah Chalk and Katherine Heigl play best friends over 50 years.
Okay, but it's one thing to have a show that's full of like people I've never heard of. That's different than having a show that stars Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalk from Scrubs. It's like, that is hooey. Like Katherine Heigl, who was literally like so rude she left Hollywood, and Sarah Chalk from Scrubs. Like, come on.
Who is best known, who is, I would say, arguably better known for being second Becky than even being from Scrubs.
Okay, well, for Roseanne fans, but you're right. She is second Becky. She's literally second Becky and was on Scrubs. Like, it's just, this is a hooey show. And then everyone else on the show I've never heard of in my whole life. But not in a way where, oh, like Bridgerton, like, oh, they're like prestige British like theater actors. It's just like I've never heard of these people.
I mean, I really implore all of you to go to your Google and type in Firefly Lane cast and look at the like tapestry of whites and off-whites that will fill the top half of your screen. And you will recognize none of the names, none of the faces except Katherine Heigl and Sarah Chalk. None of them. None of them.
I mean, how pissed is Katherine Heigl, sorry, Katie Heigl, that, which, by the way, we're not calling
not
you
yet.
Katie.
We'll get to
we
it.
Can't. But
no, I won't.
How pissed is Katherine Heigl that she has to do Zoom press for this and can't do real press? Like, she's so mad. You can tell.
She's thrilled. She doesn't want to leave her house.
No, I think she's mad. I think she's like, I finally landed something. It's number one on Netflix. I got to get out there. I got to do my thing. And she can't. She's got to be over Zoom.
She knows that she's going to get the attention for season two premiere, which when it's going to be like actually hyped.
No one cares about season two.
The music might have changed with the decades, but the promises made on Firefly Lane remained. Best friends forever.
Apparently this is about Katherine Heigl plays a woman who has a show, like a radio show called The Girlfriend Hour, which I would argue was the name we had for Who Weekly before we chose Who Weekly. Thank God we didn't chose The Girlfriend Hour.
I love this thing that you put in here where it says, you said, I love reading this with no context. What is this from, like Decider or something?
Well, it's like, so you finished Firefly Lane. Like, here are the questions that must be in your mind. Is Johnny dead? Will Tully go back to The Girlfriend Hour? And most importantly, what on green's earth did Tully do to blow up her decades-long friendship with Kate? Wait, is Katherine Heigl's name Kate in the show?
No, Katherine is Tully.
Oh.
Sarah is Kate. Sarah Chalk's character's last name is literally Malarkey. I have to watch. I'm sorry. I have to watch this show.
Me, like, putting in a fake name and, like, I'll change it later. I'll change it. Whatever. I'll change it in the second draft. It's fine. So Katherine Heigl went on the Drew Barrymore show, my favorite. Honestly, I have to say there's no better press for a show like this to do than the Drew Barrymore show. Drew Barrymore is probably like, I already watched it.
Lindsay, this is what she says. I watched the clip of her saying my name is Katie, and this is how Drew, I mean, it's a meme at this point that Drew Barrymore's show is a joke, but I haven't actually watched a clip of it in a long time.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
I had forgotten that, like, Drew, no offense to Drew, we love Drew, but, like, she's not good at this.
But the thing about Drew being not good at this, I do genuinely think that Drew is a very good person to talk to, a great listener, and does have kind of, if you met her, you'd be like, oh, you should have a talk show. Like, you know, people you meet and they're just like great at this type of stuff and you're like, you should have a talk show. I don't think that translated to the actual talk
show.
Yeah,
it didn't.
But I do believe that she had what it takes in many people's minds, but it doesn't really work. That's my take on this.
Listen, this is how she introduces her.
Yeah. Now, I have been watching Firefly Lane all weekend. I love it so much. It's giving me beaches. I really love it. Can you talk to me about it? I'm really connecting with it.
And Katherine Heigl's like, sure, I can talk to you about it. Also, my name is Katie now. Please call me Katie. And Drew is like, gladly, I love it.
Anne Hathaway did this already. You can't, sorry, we already told Anne Hathaway that no, we're still going to be calling her Anne Hathaway. And as I told Anne, I will still be calling you Katherine Heigl. I'm not willing to change your name. I don't really want to hear it. My friends call me Katie. My friends call me Annie. It's like, I'm not your friend. I don't know you. I don't have to call you that.
Hi, Who Weekly. I am viewing a disturbing image of a tattoo on Heather Rae Young's, I think her butt. And it says in cursive, yes, sir, comma, Mr. El Moussa. And I'm guessing it's Tariq El Moussa's handwriting. And apparently it was a surprise for him for Valentine's Day. And I'm just deeply disturbed by this. What does this mean? Can you please tell us? Crunch, crunch.
What a scene.
I wish I could tell you what. I wish I had any insight on what this means. The issue here is it says, yes, sir, Mr. El Moussa. Talk about, I can't think of a tattoo that's more dangerous to get in a new relationship or in any relationship than this one, other than literally writing your full name on someone's body or something like that, or a photo of them, a picture of them or something. Like, this is, I gotta say, asking for it.
The permanence of, like, I will always say yes to this specific man.
She, of course, her ring is in the photo of it. She included her giant ring in the photo. And then I think so many people were like, this is so creepy and weird that she took the photo down. It's just weird because I think it's like she posted it being like, people are going to love this. And people were like, we don't love this.
We, as a matter of fact, we hate this.
We
Heather
actually
we hate this.
That you did this. Like, we don't love this for you, you know?
It leaves the door open for too much speculation. Like, whatever is going on privately between the two of you and, like, the dynamics and, like, whatever, like,
yes.
power dynamics you have, that's between the two of you. And I'm sure there are a lot of details. When you put this up with no details, it leads to too much speculation that makes people, like, go nuts. Don't even give anyone these kinds of breadcrumbs. Like, keep this private, because
right.
unless you're willing to tell us everything and explain it, this isn't going to work for us.
It opens too many doors that you're not willing to, like, let people walk through with you, which I don't blame you. Like, I also don't want to know about their sex life or anything about their relationship, but yet here I am looking at a tattoo on this woman's ass. I guess it's her upper ass,
just above
the photo. It's like, it's like above her cheek, like next to the right over from the crack, the top of the crack.
When you first look at it, you're like, you don't necessarily know what skin this is. And then you kind of
you
look to the right
butt.
And there's like a bit of a butt crack. So it's like, oh, it's just above the left ass cheek.
I also just feel like it's one of those things where this looks like a tattoo or seems like a tattoo that you get that's like, there's a reason why it's like hidden. There's a reason why it's like on your ass that not many people see. I mean, it's one thing if you're out there showing your ass, which is great, but she is not. And so getting a tattoo on her ass, it kind of is this thing where it's like, oh, this is just for us because you're the only one who really sees my ass like regularly. So to show it off like this in this weird braggy way with the ring, it's such bad vibes. It is such bad vibes.
If you're going to post your tattoo online, no matter where it is, no matter what it is, be prepared to answer questions about it. Lil Uzi Vert got a fucking diamond in his forehead. He was more than happy to tell us all about it.
Right.
She posts her ass tattoo and she's like, never mind. Delete, delete, delete.
Well, the irony of this is we did a full segment on Christina on the Coast's new tattoo, or we did a full segment on Christina on the Coast's changing her name back to her maiden name. We were like, we don't recognize that. We just call you Christina on the Coast. But she got a tattoo up literally like last week.
Up her spine that says Still I Rise.
If you remember, Christina on the Coast is Tarek El Moussa's ex-wife. And she got a tattoo up her spine that says Still I Rise.
I just feel like Maya Angelou is like looking down saying like, who is this woman?
Yeah, literally.
Will someone please tell me who Christina on the Coast is? We don't get HGTV up here. Like, what is this? I don't know what's happening.
I'm telling you, this. I'm blaming him. Tarek El Moussa is such a big ball of bad energy that everything around him, like the Gina Caruso of outer space, just like everything
Gina
is like
Carano.
Everything bad. Sorry, what's her name?
Gina Carano.
I already forgot her. She's already gone from my mind. But it's this bad energy.
Well, as you know, I need to get a new tattoo. I didn't get to get a tattoo in 2020 because of COVID. And I do want to get it, at least for the foreseeable future, I want to get a new tattoo at least once a year. And so now I've got two. I got to catch up with two.
Wait, that's such a good idea.
It was
that.
Josh's idea, actually.
I want to get a new tattoo once. I want a new tattoo.
Isn't that a fun idea?
Yeah. Well, I want us to get Who Weekly tattoos, but you're not as into it.
I'd be down. I have to get two. I know what one of them is.
I also have one that I'm definitely going to get. And then I want a Who Weekly one. I want a question mark on my ass. I'm kidding.
But if I got... Like, it'd be funny if I got Yes Sir, Mr. El Moussa. Like, that's
no, it
funny
wouldn't.
For me.
It's no,
kind
it
of
wouldn't.
Funny for me.
I would.
No, you didn't know it's Heather Rae Young's tattoo that she posted about then deleted? No, it's really funny.
I would have you committed.
I like the handwriting. Whoever did the tattoo is a great line artist.
Stop.
Whoever did the tattoo is an amazing line artist. Like, that's
obviously
beautiful.
Yes.
It's perfect.
It's fine.
If it said anything else, if it just said Yes Sir, ooh, the tattoo artist's work is beautiful. Sean Arnold, that's the name of the tattoo artist. He should be promoted. That's beautiful.
God, you truly don't know how to end a segment still.
I know, I don't.
I was like, it was over and then he wanted to respond.
Hi, Weekly. So I'm watching One Night in Miami, which is, of course, incredible. I hope Regina King makes a billion more movies. But I just wanted to talk about, like, the four main guys. I'm assuming that none of them are them, but maybe like the most famous so far is Leslie Odom Jr. But I just wanted to know if you thought that this would like propel any of them into fandom, particularly like Kingsley Benadire, who's Malcolm X, and I've seen getting a ton of buzz, like totally deservedly. He's unbelievable. If you thought that if any of them was being on the horizon or just like what they're doing next, because they're all so, so good in the movie. Tim Tebow lesbian.
Bye. Tim Tebow lesbian. One Tim Tebow lesbian.
One Night in Miami. I haven't seen it yet, but I am rooting for Regina no matter what. Don't care.
I mean, I guess it's been out for like a month at this point on Amazon, but like I've noticed in the past week or so, it getting more and more attention on like Oscar websites, Oscar podcasts, more people are talking about it. And, it. And especially as like an ensemble thing. So like the SAG Awards, just because it's one of those movies where it's like the performances, the performances.
But it's tough because they're kind of doing impressions or kind of doing, that's always hard. When you said, when we were talking about the Wendy Williams biopic on the Patreon episode, you said something like a lot of the biggest trend in biopics now, as in a prestige way, is doing a one moment, not like a full life. Just like what happened on this one night in Miami when these four iconic people were together, what happened, you know, what or what either happened or what could I imagine have happened.
And that's what it is. This is imagine.
Right. Which is very a play, which is the most fucking theater thing to do, which I love.
I think the movie is becoming a them in terms of awards buzz. I've been seeing it getting more and more and more attention. Definitely. But also like awards are so weird this year, like because no one's seeing things in theaters. Every movie is kind of everywhere. So no movie seems more prestigious than another movie. You know what I mean? Like,
but I think it being directed by Regina King is like the themiest thing about, you know, like it's just like,
for sure,
this is the talking point. People are so happy for her. They're so happy that it's good. You know, they're so impressed by her and they really want to lift her up. And I think that's what's going to kind of drag the movie out longer than maybe it would have had time because it's not in theaters, you know, because it went straight to Amazon in a way. I think
and
you're right.
Can watch it.
It lost some of that like glitter around it, which I think this movie maybe needed a little more.
All the movies glitter did.
Yeah, that's true. But especially a movie like this that is slow, you're saying, that it has a lot of talking, that isn't a Marvel movie. Yeah.
Exactly. The two sides of the coin are, it's great that now like everyone can see One Night in Miami. Everyone can see Nomadland when it's on Hulu. Like everyone can see Judas and the Black Messiah when it's on HBO, you know? Mm-hmm. But also to the casual moviegoer, all of them get the same weight. So it's like, to someone who's just scrolling through their feeds, Firefly Lane is as impactful
you're right.
One Night in Miami.
You're right.
Like,
it's
all just streaming.
You're right.
So, like, you still have to do a little work to see which ones are actually good, but this one is actually good. But it's all imagined, and it's totally win for who's make of them, because all these people are who's. I mean, I guess as the caller said, Leslie Odom Jr., because of theater, because of Hamilton, because of, I guess, Smash.
I don't know.
Because
I'm obsessed
of Sia's, Sia's music.
I'm obsessed with Kingsley Benadire. Like, he's been in everything good for the past, like, 4 years, and everything he's in, he's, like, so hot. He was in High Fidelity, which I don't know if you saw on Hulu, a shockingly good, so good, had no reason to be good. He's in that. He was in The OA, too. Do you remember him from that?
I know. That's why I like Kingsley Benadire, because he's in The OA season 2.
I'm just
two.
Saying, I think he's really hot. I know. Okay, who else?
Eli Gorey. See, they're all who's, and they haven't done much stuff. Eli Gorey is Cassius Clay. Well, at the time, he was Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. Then Aldis Hodge is Jim Brown, the football player. Who all these people are playing thems. That's the other interesting thing in to use our language. Like all of these who's are playing thems, and the movie itself is a them, but the movie's also a who because this didn't actually happen. Like it's a fictionalized account of their night, but also based on the true events that led up to and followed this night, which is when Muhammad Ali had this fight.
It's funny that the guy playing Eli Gorey, the guy who's playing Cassius Clay, also played in his last movie that you mentioned him in, Race, he played a famous runner. Yeah. So it's like, it's a biopic. He's like in a biopic.
He's a biopic guy. Well, Kingsley Benadire has also played Barack Obama. So like he's been a biopic person too.
That's true. We also played Barack Obama. Yeah.
And whatever, that Comey rule. Yeah. Aldis Hodge, who I recognize from The Invisible Man, which I stan. I love The Invisible Man. I've seen it many times now.
Oh, wait.
He's Jim Brown.
No, sorry. To go back to Eli for 1 second, he's also on Riverdale.
Oh, yeah. He's on Riverdale.
Okay. Sorry.
He's been on many seasons of Riverdale.
I feel like that's worth mentioning. And he was also on The 100, which was a big show for a lot of people. People love The 100. So he's more known for The 100 in Riverdale than he would be known for the movie that you mentioned. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Mostly TV.
Yeah.
That I just thought it was funny that like there's a biopic thread in all of their filmographies.
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting boring, but I promise there's going to be a payoff here.
Do you, because you have a game.
I have a game. Then there's Aldis Hodge, who is Jim Brown, as I said, the football player. Also with them, but like, what do I know about sports?
Well, he was in Straight Outta Compton, and he was also in Hidden Figures. And he was also in the show Underground.
So was Journey Smollett. Yeah,
she was.
Okay. Then the last lead who plays Sam Cooke is, as the caller said, Leslie Odom Jr. They had to get Leslie Odom Jr. because they needed someone who could sing because he was playing Sam Cooke. Okay, we know who Leslie Odom Jr. is. Hamilton. Yeah,
that's it.
He was Aaron Burr. He's in Sia's new original musical, Music.
Which we will actually, for his sake, forget to... We'll, for his sake, we'll fully take that off of his IMDb if he wants. You'll never see me again.
So they're all playing thems. Who's playing thems in a movie that is a them based on a Who event directed by a them, Regina King?
Okay.
I have a game. The dynamic here is wild.
Yeah.
I have a game. It's called Who Said It or Them Said It.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm going to read you a quote. And it's going to be by either Kingsley Benadir, Eli Gorey, Aldous Hodge, Leslie Odom Jr., Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali,
no.
Jim Brown, or Sam Cooke.
This is hard for me. What if I don't know?
You have to do is guess a who said it or a them said it.
Okay, this is going to make me look stupid. Fine.
No, it's fine. You'll get it. They're not supposed to, only like one is supposed to trick you. First question. I feel like I'm still processing the experience now as we talk. I've had moments today where I'm like, I worked with Regina King and I played Malcolm.
Who said that?
Yes, that's Kingsley Benadir. You got that right. See, you got it. Okay. I've been in the business now for 6 years, Dick, and I haven't had a song that wasn't a hit.
Okay, that's a them.
That's a them. That's Sam Cooke, yes. And he's talking to Dick Clark on American Bandstand. Okay, you got it right. See, you're doing well. You're 2 for 2.
Okay.
It's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am.
Is that Cassius Clay?
Yes, that's Muhammad Ali. Okay, yes. Once you change your philosophy, you change your thought pattern. Once you change your thought pattern, you change your attitude. Once you change your attitude, it changes your behavior pattern. Then you go on into action.
Okay, is that a them? Seems like a them-y.
That's a them. That's Malcolm X, yes. Okay. There's nothing more I appreciate than at the end of the day when I can put my head down on a pillow and feel like I was used up.
Oh, that's kind of beautiful. Them-y? Them?
No, sorry, that's who? That's Leslie Odom Jr. talking about the acting process.
Okay. Wow, that's beautiful. Whose can be wise, too? Although Leslie Odom is cuspy by now, I would say. We're getting there.
The power is between your ears. The power is in your heart.
That's them-y.
It's Jim Brown. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
I am the greatest. I said that even before I knew I was.
Are you trying to trick me? Is that a who?
No, it's them. It's Muhammad Ali. Okay.
Okay.
I had to have grace for myself in this. I'm no fan of myself. I'm harder on myself than anybody.
A who?
That's a who. That's Leslie Odom Jr. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I was on the radio the other day in the UK, and they were playing A Change Is Gonna Come before I was introduced, and I had to ask the radio host whether that was Leslie or Sam. I really couldn't tell. It was Leslie.
Wait, who?
That's a who. It's Kingsley Benadir talking about.
Like, well, okay,
the movie ends with him singing A Change Is Gonna Come, but he's actually singing it.
These games that you've written recently are very, wait, don't tell me. I gotta say, you're pulling from an NPR place.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took. Is that a who or a them?
It's a them.
That's a them, yes. That's Sam Cooke, yes. Okay. And then we have...
Stupid.
No weapons, no tricks, just you and me, the heavyweight champion of the world.
Stop. That's a them.
That's a them, but which them do you think it is?
Muhammad Ali?
No, it's Jim Brown as the character Byron Williams in the movie Mars Attacks, because never forget he became an actor after like leaving football.
Stop it. That doesn't count.
That counts. You got it right though. You got it right. You got like an 80.
Trick.
You got like an 80.
That was a trick. All right. Wow, what a game.
Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners, because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? I just realized the tour dates are still up. I gotta take them off. The tour is over. Gotta prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use, because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby, long time, long time. I'm watching Dazed and Confused, and I'm playing this drinking game where you take a shot every time the kid with the long hair touches his face. But we're wondering, Joey Lauren Adams from Dazed and Confused, she played one of the blonde girls. She's obviously a who. What the fuck is she doing these days? What happened after Chasing Amy? Would be our thesis question if we had one. Crunch, crunch, women do belong in Bloom.
I feel like a lot happened after Chasing Amy. She had like a really like extensive career after that. Just nothing as kind of iconic, quote unquote, as her work with Kevin Smith, because she was kind of his muse for a hot minute. And that was her in terms of being kind of a celebrity. But then she did a ton of stuff and she still does stuff. Like,
I thought she was retired. Yeah,
because I thought she was like gone too. But she was just on a TV show for a few years. She was in a bunch of movies. She wrote and directed a movie in 2006, which I guess is a while ago, but it's still a big deal. Bobby saw it. He said it's good.
Yeah, I saw it at the time. It's a good movie. It's like an extremely 2006 indie movie. It's good.
I love that, though.
But who is she? I guess, how did she get famous? Why do we know her? I think the main reason we know her is because of Dazed and Confused, as the caller is saying, and Chasing Amy,
She has this, like, a legendary voice, this, like, crazy voice. And she also was, like, the coolest person. She's just so cool. This profile you found of her that says, occasionally Adams meets people who ask where she's been since Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Her internet movie database page lists dozens of roles. Quote, I've been doing films, she says. It's just not every film is Chasing Amy.
Yeah, she's from Arkansas, and so she still lives in Arkansas, I think.
That's
even
probably
now.
Another reason why she feels, quote unquote, gone, yes, is that she doesn't live in Hollywood.
And yeah, so that profile's like maybe 3 or 4 years old from an Arkansas newspaper. But like, I truly thought she had retired. And at one point when she made that movie, Come Early Morning, with Ashley Judd, she did say she was retired from acting, but she's obviously gotten back into it, and that's what she's doing. But I thought that quote was interesting and important, because I think that's the typical actor experience. Like, they're just still plugging away. You can't watch everything. Like, of course you don't know that they were in 3 episodes of, like, this one network TV show or, like, this one weird movie. Like, because a working actor just works all the time. It's very kind of dull and boring. They just do their job. Right. And not every movie is Chasing Amy.
Right. And Chasing Amy, she was a big deal, but Chasing Amy and subsequent did not launch her into like the next stratosphere. You know what she's in that she's very good in? Big Daddy.
I was going to say Big Daddy. She's the girlfriend in Big Daddy.
She's in Mallrats. She's, you know, she's in these like, she has these great roles in this stuff. I remember when she was on Switched at Birth, a TV show that I watched, me and Patrick, and that was in around 2013, 2014. But she was also in The United States of Tara. Remember that show that basically no one watched? That
Diablo Cody.
We were all and what's her face?
Toni Collette.
Pre, like, the Toni Collette renaissance was when she was just doing her stuff.
Some of us were fully stanning her at that point, Lindsay. We were all...
But you know what I mean. The turning point, the Toni Collette-essance happened.
Which happened because of Hereditary, kind of.
Exactly. But she's been in, like, her IMDb is, like, extensive. It's not like it ends at Chasing Amy. It's just one of those things where if you weren't watching United States of Tara or Party Down or Switched at Birth, or she's in one episode of Grey's Anatomy, like any good actor is, you know, like you just wouldn't know that necessarily.
Since 2006, she's been in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. About 21 movies since 2006. I have seen 3 of them.
Right. Which is normal, which is like a norm. And you see a lot of movies.
Yeah.
So like, that's saying something. Yeah.
But I think that, like, it's a good call to play, because this is, whenever you look up those, like chum on the internet that's like, whatever happened to Joey Lauren Adams? Like, why Hollywood dumped Joey Lauren Adams? The answer is rarely, like, insidious or scary or fucked up or sad. It's just, this is what they do.
Right, that's the thing. It's like, there are some times where the answer is something significant. Like, I would say with the Harvey Weinstein stuff coming out, some of those articles, the answer is, like, because literally they were, like, blackballed from the industry by somebody like Harvey Weinstein. But for most people, it's more of this type of story.
Yeah. Let's play a quick game of yes, no. They're quick answers.
Quick answers. Yes, no.
Does Malala know who Ariana Grande is?
Does Malala know who Ariana Grande is?
Yeah, sure.
Malala knows who Malala likes popular culture.
Yes. Sure. Malala knows what's going on, but the caller actually has the receipts, so let's listen to those.
The answer is yes. Apparently, somebody posted a TikTok saying that they thought the lyric in Positions was "Be Malala" on a Monday, and she commented, literally Malala commented, yeah. I don't think that either of them are who's. I just felt like, who am I going to tell about this? And I thought of you guys. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all I had to say. Crunch, crunch.
I don't even know what the lyric originally was because Ariana Grande can't enunciate, but "Meet Malala on a Monday" is really funny. The idea is that you end the week by fucking. It's very like Craig David, but it's funny that you would meet Malala on the Monday of that week that you end up fucking.
Oh, it's "Meet Your Mama on a Sunday."
Yeah, that's what
"Meet Your Mama on a Sunday."
Meet Your Mama on a Monday. Boy, I'm trying to meet your mama on a Sunday. Because it's like Craig David. It's like, "We've been making them on a Friday. There was a different on a Sunday." It's always like, it's like days of the week.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time, long time. So I'm rewatching The Intern. And in the beginning, Robert De Niro comes out of the elevator. And All About That Bass is playing in the background. And I was wondering, does Robert De Niro know who Meghan Trainor is? All right, thanks. Crunch, crunch. That MacBook.
Watching The Intern.
Great
good
question.
Idea. Good idea.
Great question. No.
No. Robert De Niro doesn't know he was in a movie called The Intern, by the way. He has no clue.
No, he does. He just doesn't know that Meghan Trainor was played in post-edit, in the edit.
Just in the same way, I don't think Jack Nicholson knows who Crazy Town is, even though Something's Gotta Give iconically opens with the song Butterfly.
Right. Of course he doesn't know who they are.
He didn't know.
Course,
he wasn't there in the editing process.
Of course Robert De Niro doesn't know who Meghan Trainor is.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Does Beyonce know what a Fitbit is? Thank you. Crunch, crunch.
I hate this. This is targeted. I hate it, and it's targeted.
I love
it's targeted,
this question.
It's manipulative,
I love this
and
question.
I hate it. It's a mind game. It's gaslighting. I hate it.
I love
it's
this
psychological
question.
Torture.
Does the other three were very easy answers. Does Beyonce know what a Fitbit is? Yes or no? One, two, three. No.
No.
She's too busy and rich to know what a Fitbit is.
Also, I have a Fitbit, so like Beyonce definitely does not do anything that I do. So it's very separate. She's very above me.
Like if she saw a Fitbit, she'd be like, "Oh, that's an interesting Apple Watch." And they'd say, "No, it's a Fitbit." And she goes, "Is that a kind of Apple Watch?" And just like, "No, it's a Fitbit."
Right. Unless like Fitbit released like a Beyonce Fitbit that they paid her to support and promote, then she's not going to know what Fitbit is.
No. No. Beyonce doesn't know what a Fitbit is. Malala does know who Ariana Grande is. Robert De Niro has no idea who Meghan Trainor is. We answered your questions. I feel so satisfied. Let's play a quick Who Are Them.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling because I'm really worried that Phoebe Bridgers is a them now. And I just emotionally need her to continue being a who. That's it. Crunch, crunch.
Who Are Them? Phoebe Bridgers. One, two, three. Who?
Who? I still think she's a who. She was on SNL, but that doesn't make you a them. That just, I mean, it helps, but like SNL doesn't even have great viewership anymore in terms of like getting people to see stuff and know stuff. And then she like smashed the guitar and like it made kind of news, but not really.
No.
Didn't she get in a feud with someone? Whatever, who cares? See, again, I don't even really know.
The Phoebe Bridgers smashing guitar like discourse was, I think, very inflated on Twitter. I don't think people were actually talking about this.
There was one tweet that was like, "This woman smashed a guitar," and everybody was like retweeting it, being like, "LOL," you know?
Yeah, I don't think we're wrong here. I think Phoebe Bridgers is still very much a who.
Long time. I am calling because I was just scrolling through Facebook at work advertisement because there's a really delicious looking milkshake in it. But as I watched, it turns out that this Shake Shack milkshake is a special Valentine's Day milkshake collab with Boys to Men called the Berries to Men Shake. Again, it looks really good, but it just got me thinking, one, this is really silly, but two, Shake Shack and Boys to Men, whose or thems? I feel like they're both thems, but maybe not. I don't know. Give me a lot to think about. Also, there's going to be a Boys to Men performance to go with the milkshake. I don't know what that looks like. That's all. Just wondering. Bye.
You too can get your Shake Shack Berries Two-Man Chocolate-Covered Strawberry-Flavored Milkshake from February 9th through February 14th only at Shake Shack.
First of all, sounds incredible, and I will be there.
This
sounds
is not an
amazing.
Ad.
I'm there. But I do think it's funny that Boys to Men represents romantic songs.
Yes.
They are the signifier of romantic songs, and also because they're all still together, which is rare for like a group.
They connote longevity.
They connote longevity. They could, yes, like keeping your relationship alive. The Boys to Men are there. It reminds me of when they were in my favorite movie of whatever, years ago, The Long Shot.
Yeah, The Long Shot. Long Shot. Yeah.
But they appeared as this like emblem of romance or whatever. Like it is funny to me how kind of representative they are of this vibe. You know, when I think at the time when they were really popular, I don't remember them being, yeah, they came out with like sappy songs or whatever, but I don't remember being like, yeah, they are so fully the most like romantic, old school romantic vibe. That wasn't the case necessarily, but yeah, now
they've aged into like being crooners, you know, like
totally.
It's dated. It's in a way, it's like, yeah, mom and dad music, but that like is what you want. That's,
but we're
lucrative.
The mom and dads.
We're the mom and dads. No, literally. That's like
the millennials are the moms and
that's
dads.
What
yeah,
you
that's true.
Want they are they have grown into City Winery artists. You know, that's the I that's mean, the dream.
But yeah, I mean, our Boys to Men, who are them? I kind of think
1, 2, 3, them.
Them, but like the members, I would say remain Who's, even though I know their names. Shake Shack, who were them?
1, 2, 3, them.
Them, I guess, but only newly, kind of. I feel like Shake Shack has only become a them recently-ish.
They weren't in many places until like 2010.
Yeah.
Okay. They're both thems. Amazing. Last Who Were Them. No, two more Who Were Thems.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. You guys probably know this, but I literally just found this out. John Cusack and Joan Cusack have a sister, Ann Cusack, who's also an actress, who's working 24/7. She's in League of Their Own. How did I not know there was a third Cusack? John Cusack, them? Is he fading? Okay, question. John Cusack, who are them? Joan Cusack, who are them? I think she's maybe edging him out now. And then Ann Cusack. Who? Love you. Bye.
Fascinated by this call for many reasons. Number one, I always forget that Ann Cusack is a Cusack and that she's iconic illiterate woman, Shirley Baker in League of Their Own.
Iconic woman who can't read. And I feel like you did know this.
I've learned this and unlearned this.
Yeah.
800 yes. times, because I know that like in the 11 years of our friendship, Lindsay.
You've told me this.
I have told you this at least twice.
You're like, did you? You'll be like,
Shirley
you
Baker
know?
Is a Cusack? Like, oh.
And I'll be like, yeah, I think you told me this already.
You told me this in 2011. But
every 2 years.
Every 2 years, I'm like, did
like
you know
memento.
That Shirley Baker, who can't read, and then the one
that
really
you
friendly.
You should get this credit from IMDb tattooed on no, you like no, memento no, no, so that no. as soon as you forget it, you can remember it.
No. I was telling
Honestly,
someone about my
you're getting
other,
a tattoo a year.
I know. I was telling someone about my plan for my next tattoo, and I hadn't thought about its relationship with the My Cousin Vinny tattoo. And yeah. they said, wow, your body is going to just become an archive of 90s nostalgia. And I was like, oh no. Kill me. If
That's
I add
true.
This
you
to the
be
list,
careful.
What a nightmare.
You got to be careful what you get, start
I know.
Getting.
I have to really toe the line, which is why I have to do other things, you know.
Yeah, you'll look like the inside of a pizza shop with like all these different memorabilia.
I'll literally look like Mystic Pizza. I'll look like
yeah,
Mystic
you'll look
pizza.
Like the inside of Mystic Pizza. You're like a Hard Rock Cafe. Yeah.
The best thing about Mystic Pizza is that they have a poster of The Craft. It's like, why is there a poster of The Craft in here?
It's amazing. It makes you feel like you're in Mystic Pizza.
The Jesus movie. Christ. Okay. Ann Cusack, 1, 2, 3, who?
Who?
Joan Cusack, 1, 2, 3.
This is so hard because I do think she's kind of a character actress, but she's also a Cusack, so it's kind of iconic. Okay, them. Fine.
I'm going to call her a them. John Cusack, 1, 2, three, them. And I them. Think it's really the name more than anything. Like, I think
He's hanging on by a thread.
Yeah. And okay, so that leads me to the next thing that the caller pointed out that I hadn't really considered. I think she's right. I think Joan is the more famous one, or at least the more popular one right now.
I don't know. I think Joan is more critically and more like fan-wise, nostalgic-wise, like
people
a favorite.
Like her more.
But John is the name still. He's still the Alec Baldwin of the family. He's still the kind of the one who, when they say, oh, the Cusacks, like it's John and then Joan and then the other two. I think there's two.
I guess he's more famous. But they're both thems, and I think a lot of it has to do with the names.
It's also funny because their names are Joan and John. It's not far away from each other. So it's like they both kind of have, quote unquote, the name.
No, you're right. Last call.
Lance Bass almost going to space. Who are them? Thank you.
God, how is this even a question? It's like the whoiest thing that's ever happened.
Lance Bass going to space. Who are them? 1, 2, 3. Who?
Who? I mean, that guy was a who before he became officially a who. He was like trying to go to space.
Wasn't he going
to
go with Russia or something? It was like, oh, yeah, it's like Russia was like, yeah, we'll take him up there. And he was like, cool.
Well, Russia was like, we'll take tourists up to space. And Lance Bass was like, I would like to sign up. And then they like took a picture of him in the outfit, which got like widely circulated. Yeah, him and Kate Winslet were like, we're going to space.
Why was it? That was my next question. Is Kate Winslet going to Kate Winslet almost going to space? Who are them? 1, 2, 3. Also who? Even though she is a them.
Never forget. I don't know where it is, but the spreadsheet that a friend of ours made that is celebrities claiming they're going to space and if they actually went to space.
Did Kyle make that?
Maybe it's been Spina. I'm not
Spina.
Sure.
Spina made that. Spina did make that.
Right. We don't know. I need to find that. We need to find it again. Spina, send us the link when you hear this.
The reason Kate Winslet was going to go to space was because she married Richard Branson's nephew, and Richard Branson's the billionaire who has like this, wanted to make the space tourism line as well. So Ned Rock and Roll. And so Ned was like, my uncle will take you to space. And she was like, I can't wait to go to space. And she still hasn't been to space. And it seemed like for a while, she was definitely going to outpace Lance Bass and go to space first.
Has any of the celebrities that claim they were going to space been to space? Like, not, no. Gaga said she was going to space.
Space. She went to space. She went to Chromatica.
Oh, right. I'm so sorry. No, she's already been to space. That's wrong.
I think space tourism is one of those relics of a 1950s TV where it's like, here's what we'll be doing in the year 2000. Like, space tourism is one of those things that like everyone is constantly being promised that it's around the corner. And every billionaire is always like, no, I'm going to start sending people to space next year. And then it never happens. But it's every year there's a new billionaire who's like, we're going to start sending people to space like tomorrow. Get ready. Like, put a deposit down.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're done. We have to catch our bus to space.
Beep, beep. I can't afford a plane. I got to take a bus.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the podcast. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love reading your reviews. And keep on calling at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. You can also text us at that number, don't forget. And you can also email us at whatsritaupto@gmail.com. If you are international, it's easier to send like voice notes that way. And we'll see you on Tuesday with another episode. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Hey.
Hey, Lindsay Bobby. Long time. I'm freaking out right now. I'm having like a Bernstein Bear situation. Like, what is it called when that happens? The mandala effect, yeah. Because there is no fucking way that the girl from Scrubs' name in real life is Sarah Chalk. I didn't know that. There's no way. I know her name. And I don't know what it is. I knew her name. And it's not Sarah Chalk. Like, it's not. I don't know. I'm freaking out. Honestly, please tell me someone else remembers this. Did she change her name? She has to have changed her name. Okay, crunch. Tim Tebow lesbian.
The Kissing Booth is an amazing movie. How dare you, Bobby? I still love you, honestly, but bad stuff.
Hey, Who Weekly. I was just listening to Tuesday's episode, and when you guys were talking about Suzanne Somers and how
you would react if someone broke into your home. So one time I accidentally broke into someone's apartment. I was cat sitting and like through this company and they give you keys to people's apartments. So I go into the place and there's no cat and there's no litter box. And I'm like freaking out calling the company and they were like, this is the address listed, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like pacing, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I hear the door unlocking and a girl comes in, like, I guess, I don't know, maybe she's in her 20s. I'm in my 20s. So, around my age. And she was like, who are you? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I like literally ran out down the stairs and down the street. I feel like maybe most of us would probably react the way that Suzanne reacted, which was like, oh, hello, who are you? Because it's such a, like, peculiar situation, especially if they, like, aren't, like, there with, like, a weapon or hurting anyone. It's just, like, this is odd, and I don't know how to react because I'm, like, shocked. Yeah, I guess that's all I had to say. This isn't even really relevant. I just think it's funny every time I remember that I broke into someone's place by accident. Yeah, so stay inside. And your six-year-old this morning.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. Had to pause the podcast because I was listening to you talk about Jenny Craig. And then I was like, wait, what is that name of this plant that I have? Because I have this plant and it's called, I now know, a Janet Craig plant, but I kept calling it a Judith Light plant. But now I know it's actually called like a Judith Craig plant. But like, what's the going on with the like Jenny Craig, Judith Craig, Judith Light? Who the fuck is Judith Craig? Why is she got a plant named after her? Oh God, it's gonna be a caller. You're doing amazing, sweetie. Women don't belong in balloons. Crunch crunch. Oh my God, I just called about the dome plant and I realized that I said Judith Craig. It's called a Janet Craig plant, but like the question still is, who's Janet Craig? Jenny Craig, them, Janet Craig, big who? All right, crunch crunch.
Today's episode of Who Weekly was brought to you by The CW. The 2-hour premiere event of Superman and Lois airs Tuesday, February 23rd, or you can stream free next day on The CW app.